It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And we are off and running for this 23rd day of January, 2019. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. There's a link there. This is chat room. If you click that, pick out a screen name and a password, jump right in. You'll be greeted by Anatole and Reggie and Squeaky and VT Blom, the Urban Prospector as well. Even more wandering along, most likely, as the evening progresses. You'll be capably moderated by pinch-hit midweek utility chat room moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgia Stan. And a good time will be had by all. Yes, indeed. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and it is the middle of the week. It's Wednesday, downhill to Friday, hump day. But, of course, it's ever so much more than that. It's also prayer meeting Wednesday. But before we open the doors to the cathedral, thanks to send out to our two subscribers for this 23rd day of the month. Thanks going out to Stacy. Thank you, Stacy, for being a partial sponsor of the program, and thank you to Philip in Maryland, also a partial sponsor of the program. And thanks as well overnight to our good friend Peg in the sandbox for doing a Have a Show on Me. That means that we are down to being very, very close to being done with fundraising for the month of January and being able to enjoy fundraising-free radio for the remainder of the month. And what a treat that is, at least as far as I'm concerned. So thank you, Peg. Thank you very kindly. And thanks also to George. George jumped in. And as a consequence, our fundraising goal to finish the whole blessed month is down to $526. $526 finishes the month of January. If there was a prayer meeting miracle, and we raised all that this evening, well, by Jove, that would be extra fundraising free radio as we go through the month. I had a note from George, by the way. Oh, wait. We were at 526. I'm sorry. Make that 506. Thank you very kindly to Michael up in Connecticut. Thank you, Michael. Thank you very much. So 506 to go. Like I said, we had a note from George. I know Congress doesn't have the guts or the integrity to do it, George says, but why isn't somebody at least saying that to pay for the orange ignoramus's wall, how about the obscene tax cut that was passed last year be repealed? You want stuff? Pay for it. The wall's a stupid idea, but if the Repugs want it, they can have their fat cat owners pay for it. I know this will make you laugh, but why is there nothing but silence from the news media on the subject? And yes, the first time I read this, I did chuckle quietly to myself. George continues, repeal that tax cut and there's more money for idiotic things like the F-35 and the wall without having to borrow it or take it from disaster relief like the orange ignoramus wants us to do, or wants to do. Keep hammering on the Nazis and fat cats, Bob, or is that redundant? Oh, I think it's just primary reference versus secondary reference. followed by a tertiary reference, usually maggots. Quaternary reference, Klansmen. Yeah, it works for me. Sorry, I've got a pop-up I've got to get rid of here. I think the answer to George's question is fairly simple. The idea of raising taxes is terrifying to a politician because they recognize that it is a political cyanide pill for all intents and purposes. Yeah. But thank you, George, and thank you for helping out. So there we stand, $506 to finish the week. And so if we did, half this evening, half tomorrow, or all this evening, whatever. But we'll keep up with the tally as the program goes on. It is, of course, prayer meeting Wednesday. But before we wander over into the cathedral, a little, you know, sometimes we update stories from the previous program. And in this case, you remember last night at the top of the program, we talked about those four fun-loving kids who decided they were going to slaughter all the Muslims in Islamburg, New York. If you go back, the archive's still there, you can check. And I think at some point in time I said, I bet you I know how they vote. Almost exactly like that. Well, let me introduce you to 18-year-old Vincent Vetromile, or Vetromile. I'm guessing Vetromile. Vetromile. At first blush, you would think he was probably a pretty decent young man because he just completed his Eagle Scout. That's no small accomplishment. Who knows? Maybe he was even down here in West Virginia for the great big Boy Scout clavern or conclave or whatever they hold right here in this very county. You know, when Julius Geezer showed up and made a complete ass of himself. Yeah, you remember. Well, no, it turns out, even though he's an Eagle Scout, Vincent Vetromile is not the, no. Because, of course, he was arrested for wanting to use bombs to murder American citizens who happened to live in Islamburg, New York. He and his three buddies, three of them of legal age and one juvenile. 23 legally obtained, legally owned rifles and shotguns as well, making him a lawful gun owner. But then the news developed, and over at BuzzFeed News, they took a look at Vincent Vetromile, and my goodness gracious, what a sewage pit his social media world is. Here's a quote from Vincent Vetromile. Kids have been shown to be terrorists too and have killed our people. The Quran tells them to kill us, so they're all guilty. All caps. Kill them all, and nobody will be left to attack us. And back in 2016... over on Instagram, he said he wanted to start a resistance faction there in upstate New York to combat, quote, cruelties and mistreatment of the general populace by government. And here's a trenchant observation. Anyone who's played Minecraft knows if you want to keep out people who want to hurt you, shoot you, or blow themselves up, you build a wall, and anyone who gets over, under, around the wall illegally, you kill until nobody else crosses into your land. Because 21st century nation states are just like a video game that gets people obsessive compulsively hooked on it. Right, sure. But the best part of it all was the tweet he sent out in 2017. Dear POTUS, I invited you to my Eagle Scout ceremony weeks ago. It was tonight. Wish you had come, but I get you're busy. Thanks for MAGA. So these little Trump supporters had active plans and means, you know, the bombs and the guns, to go and murder a bunch of American citizens in upstate New York for nothing more than having a different religious belief than them. Yeah. Maybe Savannah Guthrie can have him on the Today Show to explain how misunderstood he is by the liberal media. What do you think? Yeah, maybe she will. Because, after all, the Covington Catholic boys have been on their media rehabilitation tour. Two of them, in fact, opining at one point. I'm not going to fool with the clip, but most of us by now seen the images of the boys at Covington Catholic at the basketball game wearing the blackface. And those innocent, zany, well-meaning young lads from Covington Catholic explained on TV today that, well, they didn't mean nothing by it. It's just school spirit. No, it's blackface. I mean, we have blackouts and blueouts and whiteouts. I guess people think it's racist, but it weren't. It's just school spirit. Then why weren't all the kids in blackface? We've got spirit. Yes, we do. We've got spirit. How about you? Well, you're in blackface, so you've got school spirit. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. Scott points out, I saw a news report this morning that Covington Catholic High School reopened on Wednesday after being closed due to threats. The report noted that nearly all the entrances were being guarded by police. They ought to try this security method at other schools. Maybe to help prevent mass shootings. Oh, and by the way, before we do get into the rest of the madness, we had an outbreak of freedom in Sebring, Florida, a little bit ago. Five people are dead. The killer, and this will come as no surprise whatsoever, the killer is a 21-year-old man. It happened at a bank about 12:36 this afternoon. Stephen Zaver, 21-year-old resident of Sebring. Well, they didn't kill him. He just quietly surrendered after he had committed his slaughter. Sebring Police Chief Carl Hogland declared, "Today has been a tragic day in our community. We've suffered a significant loss at the hands of a senseless criminal doing a senseless crime." Well, it remains to see how senseless it is. Of course, it also remains to be seen how many MAGA hats he had, how many other guns he had, how many times he'd posted his various hatreds on social media. Oopsie. Yep, in the space it took for a trigger to travel the distance to cause the striker mechanism or the firing pin to do what firing pins and striker mechanisms do, he went from being a lawful gun owner to an awful gun owner. Yeah. So I thought we should just update some of that stuff. I thought it would be helpful. But, brethren and sistren, it is Wednesday. It's prayer meeting Wednesday. And the little old blue-haired ladies looked at me early this morning and said, One word. Meatloaf. And so they sent me off to the store, and I picked up a whole bunch of ground beef and some sausage. And they like to use some of that hoisin sauce for the meatloaf glaze. And the onions, and they got busy, and they whipped up a humongous pot, brethren and sistren, of mashed potatoes. And there was fresh baked bread, thick sliced. And so as we went down the cafeteria line, they laid out open-faced meatloaf split sandwiches. Yum, yum. Yeah, there were some greens along the way as well, and a little bit of cream corn. And over there on the dessert table, brethren and sistren, well, now it may be January, but That doesn't stop them from getting the from thinking of warm weather in spring. I mean, we got up to pretty near 60 degrees here today. After climate change, not a thing. Oh, but they made these coconut pineapple banana cakes. There's about three or four of them. The deacons made short work of them. And then they trundled their massive bulk, brethren and sistren, up those couple of flights of stairs and went out to the parking lot and started asking about for a light. And they stood out there for, I'd say about a half an hour, smoking with the sinners. But Sister Carol Baker showed up at the door of the vestibule with the cathedral solar-powered cattle prod. Waved it in the air, made a couple of circles with it in the air, as if some sort of magic incantation. It got the deacons, it got their attention, and so though they are slow to get started moving, when they do start moving, they're hard to stop. That's that whole inertial force thing. So they trundled on past Sister Carol through the vestibule, past that desiccating bowl of butter mints, and they're waiting down front right now. They've each and every one of them, they do their job. I give them a hard time, but they're standing there with their heavy brass-bound velvet-lined plates with a little PayPal button in the bottom. It transmits wirelessly to the server on high. And they're waiting. They'll pass it around amongst us with every head bowed and every eye closed, brethren and sistren. Help, glory! We'll have the offertory hymn, at which point... just take the plate and pass it. Try not to give your neighbor a closed head injury. And then we'll see how we are as far as getting all the bills paid for after the hymn. It work? Yeah, that works for me. So if the minister of music would please step forward.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around. And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST.
Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Well, brethren and sistren, here we are. Hut Sut Ralston on the Rillera and a brawl of suet. I love you. Oh, brethren and sistren, I'm calling on you to get up. Hout, glory! Off of your seats and hout onto your feet and scrunch and screech and wiggle and waggle and waddle and move without rhythm so you won't attract the worms. And come on down that blood-red aisle and fall, I'm a-telling you, on your knees at the altar and lay your hands upon the subwoofer so that you can feel the healing rays of common sense a-flowing through you. Hout from the server. On high. I am Arch Pope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Munificent, Mufti, Ponerized Pontiff, Bob Kincaid, and this is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Amen and amen. Brethren and sistren, I have sad news to convey. This here evening, I do. You are surely well familiar. I can't imagine that you are not. With that great man of God, who has caused so many hearing impaired people to say, "Baby, I know you are familiar, brethren and sistren, with the Reverend Ernest Angley." Oh, absolutely. You may have even seen this way back in the day.
I believe the miracle power of Almighty God is for everyone today. I was visited by God when I was 7 years of age, carried away by His Spirit, carried into the stars of heaven. There were stars everywhere, millions and millions of stars, and no way to number them. God said the stars were the souls that I would win for Him. With this heavenly vision from God, I bring to you His message of love, faith, and hope, salvation, and healing for all mankind throughout the whole earth.
Yes, yes, brethren and sistren. That's right. The Reverend Ernest Angley, faith healer extraordinaire, a man who caused people to say baby a lot, caused people to fall down a lot. Oddly enough, there are... not a whole lot of his videos out there, but you remember him. Mm-hmm. Well, brethren and sistren, I do. I have powerful, sad news about Brother Angley. He was apparently able to heal a lot of folks from being hearing impaired and made people get up out of their wheelchairs and go toddling around the auditorium and whatnot. But the one thing he could not heal, brethren and sistren, was the demonic impulse he had for having a man in his mouth. That's right. The story breaking just in the last couple of days via the Akron Beacon Journal reporting by Bob Dyer. In 1996, internationally known televangelist Ernest Angley admitted to his assistant minister that he had had sexual relations with a man who was employed by their church, Grace Cathedral, in Cuyahoga Falls. The telephone conversation was tape recorded, and, you know, for a guy who was visited by good God Almighty when he was 7 years old, of all the things God told him, one of them apparently was not, don't discuss your illicit relationships on the phone. Someone could be taping it. The Beacon Journal and Ohio.com got hold of the recordings last month by an anonymous source. They did so because they had read news reports about the fact that Ernest Angley and another former Grace Cathedral pastor, the Reverend Brock Miller, have been tying each other up in the law courts. Reverend Brock Miller sued Angley last August and said that Angley inflicted sexual abuse upon him and caused permanent damage to him. Angley countersued, counterclaimed for defamation of character. Arguably, one has to have character before it can be defamed, but we'll let that go. Along the way, as he was telling people to say baby, Angley would occasionally preach about the sin of homosexuality and referred to it as vile. Mm-hmm. Vile. The phone conversation is between Brock Davis and Angley. And he says, he's pissed at Angley because Angley referred to Brock Davis's wife, Regina, as vulgar. On the tape, he says, Davis says, there's been a horrible discord here. It's all I could do to keep Regina from talking. She was so angry over that word vulgar. You know what she said she was going to tell? She said, I'll tell you what vulgar is. Him and, name withheld, naked, laying in Angley's bed, masturbating each other and going to the bathroom to have to wash the ejaculation off his hands. Angel's bed, but not Angley's bed, Angel. His wife's name was Angel Angley. She died in 1970. Again, and noting the things that a really helpful God would have told him, Angley replied, that's not true, because I didn't ejaculate him. I didn't make him come. And Brock Davis says, well, you was both naked in that bed. Just for the glory of it.
Because there's been horrible discord here. Horrible. All I could do to keep her down from talking. And she was so angry over that word vulgar. You know what she said? She was going to tell. She said, I'll tell you what vulgar is. Him and naked laying in Angel's bed masturbating each other and going to the bathroom have to wash the ejaculation off his hands. She says, that's vulgar.
That's true.
It was true. Don't you lie to me.
No, it was not true because I didn't ejaculate him. I didn't make him come.
Well, you was both naked in that bed.
Well, I didn't make
Walter.
Him come.
Well, he made you come in because he described...
No, he didn't.
He described your penis.
He didn't make me come. No, he didn't.
Well, you was in sitting there naked.
Well, I didn't say I wasn't.
Been at this for about a decade and a half now, and I never thought I would hear I kind of did think I would, sooner or later, but I didn't imagine I'd hear a recording of two preachers talking about one of them having a gay affair, and it would wind up sounding like an outtake from an early attempt at Frank Zappa's Dynamo Hum. Poked and stroked, my wrist got numb, and I just couldn't make that. Yeah. Just can't do it.
But in the you're never asked for forgiveness, and you people.
No, wait just a moment. Just a moment. Don't you dare do that. Wait just a moment. Now hold it. Now you wait a minute. Don't you hear me? You stop this right now because you have talked to my wife in a vulgar way.
No, I did not.
Do you want to listen to that? Just a moment. You're so used to railroading everybody. You better listen to me because this is serious. And I'll explain it to you. And I don't want to be angry with you. I've had to go through hell with this woman. She was threatening to go to the newspaper, tell everybody how you called her vulgar. And that, wait, now, you wait till I finish.
You won't listen to me.
No, I don't want to listen to you. I want you to listen to me.
No.
I don't want you to talk. I want you to listen. It's time for you to listen to somebody besides taking over and being such a domineering person. You have failed. I finally got the message from God. I finally got it. After all these months of searching and despair and hurt and the feeling of failure, God has finally talked to me, and I want you to listen. I don't mean to be rude with you because I have no right to be rude with you. And I'm not throwing up about your past. I'm simply saying what she said, that you would call her vulgar to Debbie Clusney, who told us you said that. And she also said you talked about Jackie jumping on Chris in the front of the church in the hallway, the way I understand it, and Chris came to you crying, and you said that Jackie was mean-spirited and all. Wait just a moment. I'm not finished. I'm telling you what we heard here. And I've had to hold this thing down. I had to get up in those services. All this hell, this discord has been caused because you promised her you wouldn't talk about her, and you have, because Debbie Clusney could never have known about this vulgar business unless you told her.
No, but I didn't.
Wait, I told you I want to finish because it's important for your own well-being. Now, I'm not going to tell you all, but because when we get this deal closed up...
Hey, Ernest, say baby.
I'll talk to you because you need to know. If you hadn't talked to Debbie, this mess would never have happened. Debbie Clusney, I had it all sealed up, but no, you told my wife. I understand this, at least. It's the way it was. If you didn't trust me that I talked in piecemeal, and you had to run it down. You ran it down all right, and you got her upset all over again, and she told Regina that you said that Regina is vulgar, a vulgar woman.
Oh, I didn't say that.
Well, what did you say? You was talking about her.
No, sir, I was just told her.
He must have been having kittens, because Ernest Angley now is 97 years old. Evil is a preservative, but there's a great deal of schadenfreude running around the Horn Community Congregation right now. Monique just said Bob and sent me a gif of the dancing popcorn from Let's All Go to the Movies. Bob, this is me now. I literally have tears of laughter. I really need this. Thank you. And then this, which is worthy of this, for Monique. Whew! Imagine what the Mike Pence, Lindsey Graham tapes are like. Yeah, now you understand why the cowbell was awarded. Meanwhile, Brother Deacon Asa says, "This is a skit, isn't it?" "Okay, Bob, you got us." "No, it's twoo. Meanwhile, Hung Like Jesus says, "Are you cuckin' fiddin'?" "Nope, not fiddin' at all. No, sir. Mm-mm." Scott in San Diego says, "I was always skeptical of his alleged healing powers." "No, really?" sitting there watching with your ham's beer and heal him good, Rev. I mean, if one had such miraculous abilities, they would certainly make job one to cast out that demonic woven petrochemical monstrosity on top of his head. Yes. That's a dandy, too. Meanwhile, Matt in San Francisco, subject line, "Pointless. Well, obviously he isn't doing it correctly. If you're going to get naked in the bed, you may as well finish." Amen, Brother Matt. Amen and amen.
This has been hell. Just hell. And I did everything in my power to keep this service going.
Oh, Brother Deacon Asa won't let it go. You cut this out of a damn Phil Hendry skit. Come on. I admit it sounds like a Phil Hendry skit, but it only sounds like a Phil Hendry skit because Phil Hendry is such a genius at making this kind of crazy shit sound real. But this here is real from 1996. And isn't it weird when you contemplate something that's that old? You know, this is a 22-year-old recording. I said to myself, you know, what was I doing in 1996? Well, yeah, I remember what I was doing in 1996. January 1996 was long about when Ferg got the chicken pox as a 1 month old. And then Agnes got the chicken pox as an adult, and chicken pox is hell on an adult. And we probably could have used some miraculous faith healing. But Ernest has never proven himself much good at things like chicken pox. He was really big on hearing impairments. Mm-hmm. 97 years old.
"And doing right by these people, doing right at the funeral, taking up offerings, doing everything I could to keep this work going the way it should be going. I have went through hell with my wife. She has been in anguish and pain and anger through this discord. Debbie told her that you said that Ray's opinion of her has dropped. Now, wait till I finish. Wait a minute.
For once, you wait and listen.
Well, I don't know, but this is what we have had to live with, and this is what I've had to live with, and this is what I had to contain, and I don't want you interrupting me. Now, I don't want to be disrespectful to you, but she told her that Reverend Ainsley said that Ray's opinion of Regina has dropped because of the way she talked over one descriptive word, and you never told her what that word was. And she said, and he said, then don't you tell the Davises this. She did tell us, because that's what turned her around when you talk about Regina the way you did. She said, Regina, what did you say there? And Regina rehearsed what she said. She said, you mean that's all there was to it? And she said, yes. She then she proceeded to say what you said, that Regina was vulgar. And don't you tell the Davises. And then you discuss my daughter. My daughter's very upset with you because she's afraid that you're going to break up this relationship. And she told me at Vaquero's, she says, if this man ever interferes with my relationship with this boy, she says, I'm not going to put up with it. Now, you've inflamed people. Somebody's inflamed them. And it's not only that, it's got to others. Not about your affair with and your sexual promiscuousness there. Impropriety, whatever you want to call it. Now, that hasn't got out. But it's got out about me leaving.
Well, it's got out now. Like I said, I don't think there's ever been, based on what I'm seeing here, I don't think there's ever been a greater wave of schadenfreude run as hot and fast through the Horn Family Community Congregation as this. You have no idea how difficult it's been. I've been sitting on this story. Well, maybe that probably not sit best, maybe not put it that way. But I've been holding back. No, I've kept this story to my. Why is it every word I'm trying to use to describe not telling this story for a couple of days winds up sounding filthy? It has been a challenge, but some things you simply have to save for prayer meeting Wednesday, and by God, this is one for the ages. And that whole grace kit. I remember being a teenager, and me and my buddies getting all stoned, and saying to each other, "Hey, what's on TV?" And, "Hey, pass the chips and dip." And, "Oh my God, it's Ernest Angley. Don't Bogart that thing. Pass it this way." Because it was such an obvious fraud. But my God, the money rolled in. And he exerted... He exerted Jim Jones-ish cult-like control over the congregation. Women who got pregnant without his permission were commanded to go and have an abortion. Men who were not married were told to go and have vasectomies. And, yes, along the... Go look at... You know, they say there's somebody for everybody, and it takes all kinds. But holy mackerel. I've been engaging in these little thought experiments, and just you look at that little munchkin, and then you struggle because... Then you have to imagine him a-romping with somebody. And this is not a reflection on gay versus hetero or... No. It's a reflection on who in their right mind would have sex with Ernest Angley. Well, that person's name has been kept out of all of this. But there is a lawsuit. And the person in the lawsuit says he was sexually abused. For years by Ernest Angley. And the funniest part of it is that there have been rumors for years about the existence of this tape. And now it's finally out there. If you want to go, let's see, you can go to ohio.com, and there's a 6-part Akron Beacon Journal series from 2014 that documents all the weirdness, all the corruption, all the filth. But remember, it ain't just Ernest Angley. What was it, Paul and Jan Crouch, you remember them? Jan Crouch was that woman who made... Tammy Faye Baker looked downright demure, and there was litigation around surrounding them and him condemning homosexuality and then not condemning it in a rather particular and physical fashion. Angley in 1995 wrote a book called "Oh God, What a Mess." In that book, he declared, homosexuality is vile, vile before God, and it will send souls to hell. So I hope you'll you'll forgive my glee in sharing this, but let's see, Ted Haggard, Paul Crouch, Ernest Angley, Jim Baker, when his empire was crumbling, turned out he'd gone a romping with a feller in Tammy Faye's bed. Yeah, Silent R. Lamar says, oh, Bob, somebody been busted. Somebody been busted. The thing is, he got away with it for 97 years. So I guess he was born in 1922. And in 1929, the same year as the crash, that's when he said he got that vision from the Lard. Mm-hmm. Yeah, meanwhile, Flavio with a note. And then you realize, no, I'm going to, they're all, yeah. Marty says, men were told to go get snipped. I'm waiting for that to show up in Scientology. You mean it hasn't already? Well, Marty, you're a suppressive, buddy. You're a suppressive. That's what you are, is a suppressive. Talk about laying on the healing hands of faith. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. I didn't come. You ain't doing it right. Yeah, Monique, it's the question of the ages. Why is the GOP so anti-female and anti-LGBTQ? Because they're because it's a good dollar. It's a big dollar. And of course, there's so much to cover on any given Wednesday, but that one had to top the list. On the other hand, however, let's check in with another noted peddler of homophobia. You might recall once upon a time, A fellow by the name of, hold on, where'd it go? Daggummit. Ah, here he is. Down in Fort Worth, Texas, there's a church by the name of Steadfast Baptist Church. They misspelled steadfast, of course. S-T-E-D-F-A-S-T, they spell it. And the gospel sharp there for the longest while, was a fellow by the name of Donnie Romero. But he quit the pulpit recently because it turned out folks found about him spending an evening doing the drugs and gambling, and that this here is a quote, being with prostitutes. Well, you can be with prostitutes. It's when you get to the having sex with prostitutes part. But he didn't want to say that. So they had to replace Donnie Romero at Steadfast Church in Fort Worth, Texas. And they found him a fellow by the name of Jonathan Shelley, who came to him from the Pure Words Baptist Church in Houston. Whatever happened to just naming the church after the street you're on, or First Baptist Church, or Second Baptist Church, or Only Baptist Church? Pure Words Baptist Church in Houston, and took up a living at Steadfast in Fort Worth. I guess it was a step up. I can't be entirely certain. And Pastor Jonathan Shelley, well, he's a mite on the weird side of things. No, he's not weird. He's just nasty. Among other things, he's an anti-vaxxer. And among other things, he's a great big whopping LGBTQIA. Harasser. Phobe. But one of the problems with working that corner he's on is that, as is so often the case in right-wing world, you constantly have to one-up yourself and keep ahead of the competition. So not content to just work the usual shtick and holler and hoot and carry on about how the lesbians and the gays are going to destroy the country and nobody's going to get married anymore. And not being content to just sit there and tell the congregation to make sure they don't get any vaccinations for them or their youngins. No, he decided to take it a little further because, being outrageous in this business, in that business he's in, is good for business.
There's still enemies and friends and trolls. They all still existed. It was just different ways. And look, they've been there, done that. They were foolish. They've learned. They're wise. Listen to your parents.
Yeah, this is all about how those heathen teenagers need to stop thinking they know everything and do what mommy and daddy tells them.
But, you know, the child that doesn't, this is how God feels about it. Look at verse 18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that, when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of the city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. And all Israel shall hear and fear. You know how you could squash rebellion in the public school today? Take the rebellious one out and stone him. I bet they'd shape him up pretty quick.
Yeah, he really did say that. This, too, is not taken from an old Phil Hendry skit. This is just a Sunday in Fort Worth. Probably, incidentally, in the 1st Congressional District of Texas, represented, of course, by Louis Asparagus Gohmert. That's right, you just heard him there, a Baptist minister endorsed murdering obstreperous teenage children for not being good. I mean, this is well past even just give. Oh, nail them up, I say. Nail some sense into them. No. This isn't spare the rod and spoil the child and, you know, beat the hell out of them. Yeah, beat some sense into you. You know, I got beaten by my parents and didn't do anything. MAGA. No, this is murder some kids. Jesus, and we wonder how you wind up with an 18-year-old Eagle Scout in New York wanting to murder a bunch of Muslims. Well, this is how.
This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard, and all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. You know how you could squash rebellion in the public school today? Take the rebellious one out and stone him. I bet they'd shapen up pretty quick.
Shapen.
I bet they'd figure out maybe I should hearken under the authorities of my life. And we see, unfortunately, our society is continually destroying itself because of all of these rebellious, arrogant, prideful teenage jerks that just don't want to hearken to their parents. You know what? And God.
Yeah, but see, here's the problem. The arrogant, nasty teenage jerks at Covington Catholic hearkened to their parents. That's how they wound up in Washington, D.C., trying to take constitutional rights away from more than half the population. And catcalling women. And assaulting a Native American elder and Marine Corps Vietnam veteran. Because they hearkened. But I'm sure they wouldn't be, they wouldn't fall into that. That category of needing a proper stoning from, at least according to Pastor Jonathan Shelley. Except for the fact they are Catholics, and I'm sure Jonathan Shelley thinks that they're a bunch of Mary worshipers. That's how Baptists talk about Catholics, by the way. Bunch of Mary worshipers, bunch of idol worshipers, them with all their saints. Well, that's true. I think I must have walked into that one. Cowbell for Matt in San Francisco. Keeping ahead from the competition is what gets these boys in trouble in the first place. Yes, 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 yes it is. Yes it is, Matt. Right, Monique says, but we can't call the GOP brown shirts and Nazis, right? Yeah, oh, that gives them a terrible sad when you do that. Because they love America, they just love it different. And Republicans can love things differently. It's anybody else that wants to love differently. No, I-O-K-I-Y-A-R.
I said they should be put to death. The guy that's the lazy gamer. I don't want to get a job. I just want to play video games all day and drink alcohol with my buddies. That guy should be put to death.
I just want to drink alcohol with my buddies. Who talks like that? Nobody.
You know what? As a young man, you should be able to work, and you should work hard, and you should be sober.
Nothing in there about being paid a fair rate for a day's... No, none of that.
And the man that's not going to do that, God says, well, I think you're worthy of death. That's pretty serious. Now, obviously, in the society we live in today, this would never happen, right? America, this isn't happening. You can't take your child up to the government and say, look, this guy won't listen to us, hearken to us. But here's the thing. When man fails to execute God's judgment...
It sounds to me it's like the judgment. It's not the judgment he wants executed. It's the teenage gamers. Golly Moses, I tell you, you really gotta love that there religion of peace. Hooey. Are we done? No, we're not done. Not by a right smart. You remember who Jerome Corsi is? Yeah. Florida bank shooter, this, according to David from South Carolina, subject line, incel, involuntary celibate. Unconfirmed, though I do not doubt this, Florida bank shooter who allegedly killed five innocent people has been identified as 21-year-old Stephen Zaver. And, yes, as was said to me earlier in an email, I assume because they didn't say he was black or Muslim or Hispanic, he must be a white kid. And he is. Confirmed Trump supporter. His mom worked for Trump and attended several of Trump's campaign speeches. MAGA, y'all. No surprise. And what's that, Earther? Now, Bob, being with prostitutes. Chief Justice Roberts has clearly determined that people looking for prostitutes are just expressing their opinion on how much they like having sex with strangers. There's money involved, right? Money is speech. Why do you hate the First Amendment, Bob? Well, thank you, Arthur. It wouldn't have been quite... It's not officially a stop telling us, but it's pretty damn close. Why do you hate the why do you hate the First Amendment, Bob? Scott in San Diego. I've said it before and I'll say it again. That's exactly the trouble with kids today. They just don't hearken. Yeah. Yeah, it's that hearkening thing. And Scott says, my two favorite church names, the Powerhouse Church of the Presumptuous Assumption, or the First Church of the Gooey Death and Discount House of Worship. Absolutely. Prayer meeting Wednesday, brethren and sisters. There's nothing quite like it. And within, you know, with these evangelical fundamentalist homosexuals, these good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, you know, Christians. One of the problems is that when you get sucked into that death cult, it's awful hard to shake free of it. And if you get it in your brains early on, you'll never be completely well. You'll be in a state of perpetual recovery. That's where I am. But enter Jerome Corsi. Remember Jerome Corsi, White Winger, the guy who smeared Al Gore, the Swift Boater, the guy who helped perpetuate Trump's racist birther conspiracy. Well, he's been interviewed by the special counsel's team. And he went on something called the Eric Metaxas Show. And he channeled his inner Jesus.
I'm going to give you another chilling moment here. Aaron Zelinsky is the youngest of the prosecutors, very arrogant guy. The one who had done the lead, had done all the work on me, said he read all my books and listened to all my live chats, and he suddenly gives me a lecture. He says, Dr. Corsi, you take a fact here and a fact there, and you weave them in lies, and you're not like us. You don't know the difference between truth and false. And I'm sitting there, I'm stunned. You know why I'm stunned? First of all, he said that my work is all political, and he objects to it. He thinks I'm, you know, a nutcase because of my political views.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, I should have said this to him, but I thought it. It's in the book, Silent Nomura. I said, Mr. Zelinsky, you don't have any idea what you just reminded me of. And said, I doubt if anyone will, when Jesus Christ is being interrogated by Pontius Pilate, Christ says, I am the truth, I am the way. Whoever follows me will follow the truth. And you know what Pontius Pilate asks him? What is truth? And there Zelinsky is telling me he's the arbiter of truth.
It's a stunning thing, first of all, that someone that young in his tremendous arrogance would dare to talk to you in that way, somebody, you know, old enough to be his father, it sounds like. It's just extraordinary, and it reminds me of...
Oh, wait, is this a new, like, legal rule or something? If you are a 30-year-old hard-charging federal prosecutor, if the crook that you're interviewing is old enough to be your father, you can't tell them that they're lying to you, because that's going to put a stick in the spokes of any effort to pursue criminal conduct. If every prosecutor has to be older than the person they're prosecuting, that's not going to work out well.
Red guards, you find this kind of ideological mania in places like, you know,
mania,
Mao's China, the Cultural Revolution, and it's a frightening thing, that kind of power in the hands of the young foolish, arrogant people.
Well, you know, our founding fathers warned that...
Oh, wow, that was a howling mistake. Yeah, the Swift boaters went after John Kerry, not Al Gore. Thank you, Randy and PA. I don't know what made me say Al Gore. Probably a demon.
We were only one generation ever from losing liberty. And today you can...
Sit, liberty, sit.
See it. If these ideological purists take over, it's only a matter of time until they ban the teaching of the Bible.
Oh, that's quite right.
That's quite nuts. There has never been an attempt, nor will there ever be an attempt, to ban the teaching of the Bible in church. Now, on the other hand, do you have a right to use the facilities of government to advance one religion over another? No, because of the First Amendment. Damnation. But yeah, Jerome Corsi there. Well, maybe he's as short as Jesus was. Jesus wasn't a big guy. Probably about 5'2", 5'4". But I think that's where the comparisons end. But no, Jerome Corsi is quite certain that him and Jesus are being... persecuted just the same way. But you know who the real demon is these days? I know you know. Yeah, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Just demons all over the Bronx and part of Queens that she represents. All over the place. And so we haven't heard of this clown before. Brethren and sistren, meet Dave Kubal.
The good news about the midterm elections is that there is a great opportunity for evil to be exposed in the days and weeks to come. Well, what do I mean? I mean, I'm going to lay out in front of you a series of thoughts, of real life happenings, of relational connections that I think you're going to find astounding. It's been widely publicized that there is a coven of witches that casts spells on...
A coven? 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 Any of the Wiccan part of the Horn Family Community Congregation want to help me out there? Is it a coven or is it a coven? According to Frank Kubal, K-U-B-A-L, Frank Kubal, it's coven.
I'm President Trump, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This particular coven is found in the southern portion of New York City. Well, in the southern part of New York City, it happens to be the jurisdiction of a U.S. district court called the Southern District of New York.
The Southern District of New York does, in fact, cover New York City. But there's a coven in the court. I'm easily confused by this insanity.
And in that court, a Clinton appointee to that court is the judge that is overseeing the Michael Cohen case, which has been widely publicized. So in other words, the Robert Mueller investigation is utilizing this court and a Clinton appointee in order to pursue all of these charges against the Trump campaign. Now, the judge that started this whole process is a judge by the name of Kimba Woods. And Kimba Woods is not a household name by any stretch, but she definitely travels in very high circles. She is the judge who recently officiated in George Soros's wedding. In 2013, George Soros was married for the third time, and the judge who is over this court, over the Cohen case...
Married for the third time? You mean like your god emperor there? Has he also got five kids by three baby mamas?
is the judge who presided over George Soros's wedding. It just so happens that in attendance of this wedding was our now Speaker of House of Representatives, Nancy Pelosi.
Ooh.
So right in the middle of all of this, the Southern District.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. Nancy Pelosi went to a wedding? The flag is falling.
In the middle of where these witches are doing the 24/7 spell casting, we find the territory of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Her district is in the center of all of this going on.
Actually, it's not. It's in the Bronx and Queens, which is not anywhere near the southern tip of the island of Manhattan. I mean, near being a relative term, but no, she's north of that. But let's not get that get in the way of a good story about witches. As Jack in Shreveport says, maybe he means to say a covfefe of witches. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Should have seen that coming. I'm glad you got the putback on that, Jack. That's well done. Mm-hmm.
So, is this a coincidence? Maybe. I can't say that I have visions in the spiritual realm on how evil happens. But is there an evil thread running through this area trying to dispel diabolical power? My point is that there is great opportunity.
His point? I'm so glad to know there was one.
In the days, weeks, months to come, to see the enemy of our souls, his efforts to be exposed, for Satan to overplay his hand so that truths like what I am describing to you, coincidences that I am describing to you, will be discovered. Just this week, there was a spiritual SWAT team that was sent into this particular geographic area in order.
A who what? A spiritual SWAT team? Is that anything like nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition? you guys are on tonight. Flavio says maybe it was a Covington. And Flavio follows up by saying, "I'll go lay by my dish now."
To deal with the spiritual activity that is going on here.
I've just got this vision of this spiritual SWAT team, you know, some sort of, a 1974 Ford Country Squire station wagon pulling up, and a bunch of women wearing denim skirts down to their foot tops, and hair done up to Jesus jumping out, and with snakes in their hands and swigging on the strychnine, and woo, party! Spiritual SWAT team. Speaking in tongues and anointing each other with oil. And, oh, Jesus, don't tell Ernest Angel. He's liable to get him. Nah, he doesn't like girls.
Lord, we pray, we ask you that your mighty hand, that the power of your Holy Spirit would bring light into this part of New York. Father God, that the relational connections, that the threads of evil, that the diabolical communications that are occurring behind the scenes, with people who are humans, with supernatural forces that are having great effect. Father God, we pray that they would be exposed.
And when they're not? I mean, what happens to these people when their prayers don't get answered? Well, you know. And by the way, so there's that. But I've been fascinated. You know, it's another week, another. Things just aren't the same now that we don't have any Jesse Lee Peterson clips. But we do have Josh Bernstein. Mm-hmm. And dear God. We do have Rick Wiles. Yeah, by the way, Frank told me, Bill told me, subject line, Liberty. I had to bark when you told Liberty to sit. Sit, Liberty. Sit. There, do the barking for you. I mean, this is pretty rich stuff, but if you're around Josh Bernstein, well, my suggestion is don't be around Josh Bernstein.
Let's think about this for a second, folks. We've got 30 Democrats that are running around the country right now, 30 of them, and they're all in Puerto Rico, and they're hanging out in the sunshine, they're sitting on the beach. They're doing everything but reopening our government, folks. They care more about getting a suntan than reopening the government and protecting our borders.
It's amazing, isn't it? Isn't that amazing? Well, the amazing thing to me is these are the same people, by the way, that ordered and supported building a fence.
Now, the guy on the phone is Josh Bernstein. The guy talking into the mic that you're hearing right now, that's Dill Beagle, or Bill Deagle, who runs the Nutra Medical Report show. Maybe it's time to fire up the Horn Nutraceuticals again. Now, bear in mind, it was not a vacation to Puerto Rico. The Democrats actually went down to Puerto Rico to raise money for Puerto Rican relief from the hurricanes relief that Donald Trump is on record as having said he didn't want a penny to go to Puerto Rico, because that's the kind of petty, vindictive little shithead that Donald Trump is.
Barrier and multiple times, including Barack Obama's government and even back to George Bush. So,
again, this is Bill Deagle.
So, the Democrats are just playing evil politics here, aren't they?
They truly are. Bottom line, Democrats don't care about Americans. They don't care about their security. They don't even care about their paychecks. Which, by the way, most of these people who are not working are the ones that vote for the Democrats. So you would think that these bad optics would be enough to deter others from duplicating the same behavior. But let's not forget that Bella Pelosi and Maxine Waters, just a couple of, weeks ago, maybe the very couple of first days of the shutdown, they were...
Did he call her Bella Pelosi? Is that some sort of white-wing attempt at humor? Bella Lugosi, Bella Pelosi... Is that what that is? Okay.
...spotted in Hawaii and in the Bahamas, respectively. And now you have 30 of these Democrats that could care less. The bottom line...
Couldn't, Josh, care less. Just bugs the daylights out of me. When you say they could care less, it means they care. God damn it.
...line is, and I hate to say this, these are the types of people that Americans fought against in World War II.
Right.
These are the ones who should be sterilized so we can actually start over.
Like I said, if you're around Josh Bernstein, don't be around Josh Bernstein. He wants to sterilize Democrats. No word on whether he wants to sterilize the Greens. But, yeah. This, of course, is the same guy that wants to see cops killed. If, mind you, they happen to... try to enforce a law that says, you can't have an assault rifle or something. Right. So that then leads us to yes, Rick Wiles. The stuff that's out there just running under the surface, well, you can't, it would boggle the mind. Well, Jude, that is a... That's a good observation. I asked, what happens when their prayers don't get answered? Jude said, could it be that their damaged children go out shooting and killing innocent people? Well, yeah, and ultimately that's their goal. All of this is just a matter of trying to weaponize the right twisted personality so that you can get them to go and, kill a few of your political enemies. like what happened in Sebring, Florida today. But there are, according to these clowns, there are all kinds of bizarre conspiracies out there. And Rick Wiles says he knows what the real goal of the Mueller investigation is. Might want to get the hockey puck for this one. Ah, okay, that makes a little bit of sense. Thank you. I didn't realize that. David in South Carolina stand pointing out Nancy Pelosi's granddaughter is named Bella. I thought he was going for some sort of... Oh, yep. Live and learn. No, there's a deep and creepy plot out there. This is going to take the duct tape's going to have to be tight for this, or you're going to shoot the hockey puck across the rim.
So are you suggesting, Rick, and I assume that you are, that maybe American intelligence made a deal with British intelligence to dump the Steele dossier?
Possible, but this may be entirely a UK intelligence-driven operation against Donald Trump.
Okay.
To destabilize Donald Trump. Why would Great Britain, why would the monarchy, why would the establishment of Great Britain want to destabilize the Trump administration? And this is what it appears to be, because all of the tentacles of this Russiagate story, it all goes back to Great Britain. This country has been deliberately weakened over the past 70 years, really since the 60s. And the invasion, culturally, the invasion started in the 60s with British rock music coming.
It was the rock music. It's always, you know, sooner or later, it's always going to be the rock music. Yep, blame it on the Stones, blame it on the Beatles, blame it on the Who. Hell, blame it on Herman's Hermits, Mrs. Brown, you've got a lovely daughter. You know, if we could actually raise take a further bite out of the fundraising goal for the evening, I won't sing anymore, just letting you know.
Into this country.
That's correct.
We forget about that? The rebellion, the spirit of rebellion, drugs, it came from Great Britain, okay? Look, the monarchy continues to see America as the wayward child. They've never officially recognized the American Revolution.
What, Edith, huh?
There were, you know, treaties. There was a treaty signed to end the revolution, end the hostilities, recognize the sovereignty of the United States of America. There was a treaty after the War of 1812, too. But Emory and Marveline are just sitting back there in their matching Barca loungers. And, well, Marveline, I ain't never been one to trust them English. But Emory, our people come from England. Well, we're Americans now, Marveline. Don't trust him English.
There's always been a desire to pull America back into the fold of the British Empire. That's what Five Eyes, all those countries that you mentioned, are connected to Queen Elizabeth.
Through the Commonwealth.
Yes, but not the United States.
No, because we revolted.
No, you're revolting, all right. It's hard to keep up now. Does Queen Elizabeth operate a pizza parlor with a pedophilia ring in the basement, even though there's no basement? Is she part of that, or is she part of the Illuminati? Probably Illuminati. Wouldn't you figure?
Became a sovereign.
We're part of the operation.
Now we are through Five Eyes.
So the intelligence agencies...
Five Eyes hamburgers? I'm getting lost here.
...of these nations really are the ones pulling the strings. And nobody has the power to challenge them. If you do, you'll be dead. They'll smear you. They'll destroy you.
And yet, somehow or another, Rick Wiles manages to make it to the studio every day. And he hasn't been destroyed or smeared. Robert in Australia, says it was the British. It's the British? I didn't know that South Park was a current affairs program. I know. I know. Lee in New York, subject line, invasion. We did not stop the invasion of Beatles. Now we will pay. Build a wall to keep the British out. Yeah, and by the way, going back to those demons in Lower Manhattan, Lee pointed out, yeah, there is evil in Lower Manhattan. It was there before we were the U.S. of A. It's named Wall Street. I have a feeling I might ought to back off a touch, lest the fantods kick in. Darlene in Connecticut, OMG. So it's Great Britain's fault now? And the Soviet Union? I mean, oops, Russia is totally innocent? Yes, Mother Russia, always totally innocent. Vlad Putin is huggable, lovable, cuddly, squeezably soft, great maximum dictator for life. He is loved by people.
All right. So, I think the British establishment wants to, if they could bring the United States.
I mean, goddamn, this is all just like some sort of game of white wing Mad Libs. It's just random words tossed into blanks.
Back in to being part of Great Britain, the British Empire, they would feel like they have accomplished, a centuries-old plan. Because they lost North America. They lost America. They kept Canada, but they lost the United States. And they've never gotten over it.
What a pity. They've never gotten over it. I'd say they got over it back when Lend-Lease got going in earnest during the Second World War, when we, even before we entered the war, when we were making sure that that the UK had enough food and weapons and necessities of daily living to be able to withstand the onslaught of the Third Reich. But, not according to Rick Wiles. Yeah. You can't make this stuff up. So that's David in South Carolina Stan says, now Bob Dylan turned the Beatles onto reefer, but now that gets into another conspiracy because Bob Dylan's Jewish, so I guess Soros is behind it. It's all just so damn complicated, and you can't keep up. Scott in San Diego, it's the British. Wait, is Rick Wiles talking about British Israelism? That's gimmick infringement, Bob. He's treading upon Herbert W. Armstrong and his son Garner Ted's turf. Note, British Israelism, also called Anglo-Israelism, is a pseudo-archaeological movement which holds the view that the people of the British Isles are genetically, racially, and linguistically the direct descendants of the 10 lost tribes of ancient Israel. Everybody wants to be the 10 lost tribes of ancient Israel. And by the way, Monique says, I live in New York and was raised by loving, sane parents, so I'm lucky. But a lot of the country, this is all they hear. And it is crazy with a capital KKK. Let's see. Let's run over to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, honey.
Hey, Tracy. You sound more chipper already.
Oh my God! One day one and a half days, because I started the antibiotics yesterday. And the antibiotics and the steroids yesterday. But oh my God, I pretty much have gone all day without. Last night was the first night I slept all night in 3 weeks since the first of this month. So it's like, holy God, I feel so much better. It's just
glad I am to hear it.
Oh my God. I mean, it's so funny because, you know, as much as I was giving you shit about being a lightweight when I told you, you're like, please make sure you're not driving when you take your codeine. I'm like, lightweight. But I don't know, because normally I can still, take, anything and drive. But yesterday, I guess because I had a really long day yesterday, I was gone all day. I did my school run. I had field trips. And so I left my house yesterday at my normal time at 7 o'clock. I didn't get home until 8 o'clock last night. So I was exhausted. And I came home, took, everything and the codeine. And I didn't even realize. I was on the couch. And I woke up. It was 4 in the morning. I'm like, shit. I never moved. And I'm like, I realized that I slept because I wasn't up half the night coughing. But yeah, this is one of those good things about, having an old school doctor who, has no issues with giving you cough syrup or codeine.
Who can look at you and say, no, I don't think we've got a budding addict on our hands.
And on the other hand, in my mom's, in Vietnam, North Carolina, my mother, who will be 70 years old this year, you cannot believe the hell she goes through to get, decent pain pills.
Oh, yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Yeah, because that's where you, okay, yes, you can, because you go through the same shit in West Virginia, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so you know what's going on.
No, we can't give you any pain. We can't
do it to white people, too.
Yeah, we can't give any pain relief, Bob. You might turn into a hillbilly addict.
Right. And basically, that's what the same thing to my mom. You're a Negro, so you can, automatic. You're drug seeking.
Yeah, right. Probably got a straight razor in your shoe.
Or razor blades in your afro.
Yeah, oh, that too. But wouldn't that cut chunks out of your fro?
Well, see, did you see, you saw the movie Coffee, right? Or did you?
Yeah.
With Pam Grier?
Yeah.
Okay, so, the logical part of my brain is like, wait a minute. If you put the razor blade in the afro and, homegirl goes and tries to grab your hair, because typically when women fight, I've only in the movies have I seen this, so I don't know. It might be a gross generalization, but it seems to me that when females fight, the first thing they do is go for the hair.
Yeah, yes.
They grab, but if they grab too hard, what if they press the, your hair and the razor blade goes into your scalp?
Scalp wounds are bloody, yes.
Yeah, so, that's just me. Oh, speaking of razor blades, remember I sent you that story about Cardi B and Tommy Lauren?
Oh, yeah.
So, apparently, because, I don't really, I know nothing about Cardi B. So, I was telling a friend of mine who knows more about, black pop culture than I ever will. And she's like, when I read her the story, she's like, oh, no, Tommy Lauren is lucky to be alive. Because apparently, I did not know this, but Cardi B is a straight-up gangster. Rolling with the Bloods gangster. Okay?
Yes.
Not just claiming that she is a Blood. She used to be a pole dancer. And, again, she's from the Bronx. So, these are the things. When you're going around talking shit about people, you better watch yourself. And then I told another friend, the guy that does my locks, I told him about it because I went to go get my locks tightened today. And he's like, when I told him about the story, he's like, shit, Cardi B keeps Vaseline, take off your earrings or put on the Vaseline when bitches ready to rumble. She said she keeps boxing gloves. I mean, this could all be a rumor, but she keeps boxing gloves. and gasoline in her car on the ready. I'm like, again.
Well, did you get around to watching the video for Bodak Yellow?
Yes. And I'm like, holy. I mean, like she's, you know, she's not, I wouldn't mess with her. I just no freaking way I would mess with her. I mean, and I'm pretty sure everybody's in the Horn family's going, why are we even talking about, did she talk about that the other day? I don't know if I mentioned it or not.
Well, yeah, I mean, Tommy Lauren decided she was going to get all froggy and criticize Cardi B, and Cardi B just clapped right back and said, you know, I will dog walk you.
And for those,
and anybody who know anybody who knows who she is, understood that that was not hyperbole.
No,
she'll get on a plane, go find Tommy Lauren, and dog walk her.
Mm-hmm.
And to dog apparently to dog walk is to drag somebody around like a big old, you know, like a big old pit bull on a logging chain, who, you know, dragging the owner down the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All that there.
And then she tried, and then Tommy tried to play victim.
Oh, yes.
Because I imagine at that point in time she realized she had done something she ought not do, because she'd finally run across somebody who will do more than argue with her.
Right. Who will physically come and get you.
Yeah,
like you said,
because she would take Tommy Lauren off at the knees and then start kicking her ass for being short.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, and I don't know if this is a rumor too, but because the long-standing feud between her and Nicki Minaj, because they got last year they got into the fight at Fashion Week and all that. Apparently, again, I don't know if this is true or not, but her and Nicki Minaj got into an altercation, and Cardi B allegedly threw Nicki Minaj in the trunk of her car and basically said, "Bitch, I will end you." Instead of beating her ass, it's just, again, this is a girl who will, you know, like I said, former pole dancer and all that, grew up in the hood. And, you know, ain't studying a little white girl. And like you said, Tommy, instead of Tommy Lauren just shutting up, so I think Tommy Lauren's response to say, I will dog walk you was, I know you can, but, you know, this doesn't excuse you for your nonsensical whatever. I'm like, holy cow, because, you know, Cardi B, all this started is because Cardi B criticized Trump about the shutdown. And, of course, because, you know, what did we call her? Not Eichmann Barbie. You know, of course, you know, defending her lord and master, you know, try to go after Cardi B. It's just the certain people you don't go after. You just do not, because Cardi B, I'm pretty sure she is at some point in her, probably has been to jail maybe one or two times. And will not care about, you know, hurting somebody. And she has the means to do so. If she didn't want to get her hands dirty, that's okay. She, I'm pretty sure there's plenty of people that she knows that wouldn't mind kicking somebody's ass. So, you know, there you go. Oh, my God, it feels so good to talk without coughing.
Yeah, I haven't coughed once.
I haven't coughed once. I'm telling you, it's just, I cannot believe how much better I feel. And that's... After one day, oh, by the way, my doctor fussed at me when I went yesterday, when I told him, you know, about how, he's like, why didn't you come in? I'm like, I just didn't think it was that bad. And then when I realized it was that bad, I was too weak and all that, he was pissed.
That's good. That's good doctoring.
No, I have a damn good doctor. This is the man that, it's the one when I took, you know, when I was having all these issues with headaches and numbness and all this, the first thing, and it's after my first visit with him, he's the one that had me go get the MRI, which found, when I found out that I needed brain surgery. after suffering, you know, and being misdiagnosed for like 10, 20 years of this suffering. And he's like, as soon as I tell him about my neck pain, my shoulder pain, and, you know, all this, he's first thing, MRI, get the MRI. He looks at the MRI, and he refers me to a neurosurgeon. And within 3 months, I'm having brain surgery. So this is, I mean, this is the kind of doctor that when you go to, you know how the doctors are now, if they're in there with you for 15 minutes, that's amazing.
Oh, yeah. I sort of extrapolated it out. If I go to the doctor, I have to pay cash up front, cash on the barrel head. So mm-hmm. I mostly don't go to the doctor. But I figured it out. It works out to about $1,500 an hour.
Yep, sounds about right.
Because I have to pay $120 for an office call, and I get about 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
Dr. Kachani is in the office. He is so thorough. The shortest amount of time I've ever spent in with him examining me or for an appointment, the shortest amount of time was 30 minutes.
Nice. That's a great family doctor. By the way, you got a note from Jack in Shreveport, Tracy. Jack says, I still can't get Tracy's comment out of my head, and it struck me as really funny when she said she was relinquishing her title as the horn sick person.
Yes, I am now, it is official. I mean, you know, I still got to finish the course of the antibiotics and the steroids, but my God, that's why he was, because when I told him, and he was not, you know, he's like, if we had to come in here, he's like, you've been sick for 3 weeks, and you're suffering needlessly. And so, and like I said, once we're, and I'm not going to need the cough syrup anymore, so thank God. So now I'm going to have my own, you know, my reserve of, you know, of cough syrup or codeine. So I'm just like, oh, my God, just to talk and not to cough, it's just been, Such a wonderful feeling. And just wanted to also thank, you know, everybody for, you know, thoughts and prayers, y'all. And thank you for keeping me in your thoughts and thinking about me and, you know, being concerned about me. Because I was sick, you know. And
yes, you were.
And I was sick as hell. And when I have my mother on my case, who is a nurse, and she's like, you know, now that I'm feeling better, I finally confessed to tell her that when I had a fever of 100, a temperature of 102, and she's like, look, you are in your 50s now. You can't, anything, in an adult, apparently, anything over 100 degrees is problematic. So she's like, you cannot play with this, and especially, yes, again, I have insurance. So I have no excuse. I just don't, coupled with my depression, it's like, I don't care about taking care of me, of myself. So I let a lot of stuff just kind of slide because I really don't, especially if I'm sick and I'm going through a depressive episode. So it's like, you know, having the wherewithal to take care of yourself. And, you know, sometimes doesn't, you know, coincide with, you know, getting up and going to the doctor. So that was a lot of the reasons, too, why I didn't, you know, get up and go to the doctor when I was feeling bad, but not so bad that I can still function. But, you know, it was silly of me to not take better care of myself. But, you know, sometimes you just don't feel like it. You just don't feel like it. So it's like, you know, I'm going to have to, you know, start grappling with that and all that, but again, I feel so much better again, and I'm just so glad to be able to be not, you know, having to deal with shortness of breath and all that. But let me tell you what my main motivation was to finally go to the doctor on Monday, yesterday. I'm going to Vegas this weekend.
Yep, there we go. What you needed was some motivation.
And that was my motive. I'm like, wait a minute. I do not want to go to Vegas coughing and hacking and all this. So I'm like, okay, now I'm going to have to go to the doctor. You know, not because I need to take care of myself or anything like that. It's like, I don't want to be at the poker table coughing.
No, that kind of puts folks off.
I know. But I'm trying to be, you know, I know they're going, really, really, really crazy? The only reason why you got up and went to the doctor is because you're going to Vegas.
Hey, hey, gambling while sick is no fun.
No, it takes all the fun out of it. And plus, there's a restaurant that we go to, whatever, not all the time when we go to Vegas, but pretty much most of the time, called Binion's, Top of Binion's or something like that.
Yeah.
They're famous for, are you ready for it, Bob?
I'm waiting.
Chicken fried lobster.
Quit it. What the, what in the, huh, what, chicken fried lobster?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I want to know about this. I want to experience this.
You, any, Bob.
Oh, you done crossed Ron.
It is, it's like, it is the most amazing thing I have ever experienced in my life. And what's cool about it is this restaurant is straight up old school Vegas. I mean, first of all, it's not on the Strip. It's in downtown Vegas, which, in my opinion, is the best part of Vegas. It's, you know, it's at the top of Binion's Gambling Hall and all this. You have a view of the mountains, plus, you know, the view of the Strip. And because, like I said, I can drink, but I'm not, you know, I don't drink a lot. But you're talking about, and they do like a heavy pour. The last time I went, what did I have? 7 and 7. Holy cow. There was, I don't know. I mean, there was definitely more Seagram's than 7-Up. I can tell you that right now. I think they just put a splash of 7-Up in just so they could say, this is.
Oh, it was a drop of 7-Up drowning in a sea of Seagram's.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, and it's a steakhouse, so you got the, you know, all the different cuts of stuff, and their steaks are amazing. It is dimly lit with the red leather booths, you know, the whole shit. It's just, because we have a reservation for Saturday, I will definitely take a picture of the, you know, the chicken.
Oh, so it's happening this weekend.
Yeah, this weekend. As a matter of fact, my sister Rachel is going to be there, and it's a totally separate thing because her husband, the Trump supporter, is a Van Morrison fan, and he's going to be in Vegas this weekend.
Oh,
so they're going to. Are you ready for how? This is what happens when you're married to somebody with money. Are you ready for how much the tickets are each?
Probably pretty breathtaking.
Because, you know, of course, she's going all out, and she's got, I guess she's got floor seats or front rows, whatever. $400 each.
Each?
Each.
Damn. You know, we were talking about the New Orleans 50th Anniversary Jazz Fest and the fact that the Stones are going to be playing there. I think, of course, it's at the fairgrounds and it's in the daytime, but $184 a pop.
Wait, is that for the whole festival? Or just
No. Fun? That's just the Stones.
Sorry, not sorry.
Well, you know, if I had that kind of money laying around, I'd put that out.
Look, but you know what? Exactly. You know, if I was making a kind of, because Rachel works, she's a flight attendant, but I know flight attendants don't make that kind of money. But then again, she's married to a man that pays, you know, she doesn't have to, the only thing she has to pay for really are her bills. As a matter of fact, he would be happy that she really does not have to work, but she works so she can pay her own, you know, so she can do what she wants to do. But, these people, her husband's son got, I guess it's her stepson, who's younger than she is. Okay, that's terrible. But her stepson got married last year, and this is the kind of, it's like, God, this is how people live. So him and his his bride, they're going on a 6-month honeymoon, Bob.
6 months. Well, nice if you can do it.
And Rachel and Bob's wedding gift to them was $10,000 for the trip.
Party. And they're doing it on a boat? Tracy?
Can you hear me?
Oh, well... you're coming in and out for some reason or another.
That was weird. I don't know if they're doing it. No, I think wherever they're going, they're flying. But one part of the trip, they're going to Australia, which I think Australia is probably not a good place to go right now because of the heat wave, right?
Well, the roads are melting.
Yeah, the roads are melting, and they're what did they say on the Green News yesterday? Pumping oxygen into the lakes so the fish won't die.
Yeah, that too.
So anyway, depending on when they're going, Rachel and Bob are going to meet them in Australia.
That actually sounds like a lovely time.
No, it does. And I will freely admit I had a swig or two of Haterade. So you know, I'm going to be real. I'm going to be 100. But it's like. Wow. Because you think, you know, somebody like you and I, if we decided that we were going to Australia, this is like a 1 or 2 to 3 years in planning just to save up the money and all.
Oh, believe
stuff,
you me,
right?
yeah.
But can you imagine my sister and her husband, okay, this is January, right? They haven't even bought their tickets yet to go about. Well, then again, you know, because Rachel is a flight attendant, she does, you know.
Yeah, that's probably a big part of it.
That's a big part of it, too. But still, they do have to pay for part of the legs on some of these airlines, and you still got to pay for a hotel and all this other stuff, you know. So even if you could get a discount on airfare and all that, I mean, this is not a cheap trip. It's not like you said, you know, getting into your car for me like and just driving down to San Diego or something like that. So it's like, wow. I'm like, okay, you know, what do I? This is who I want to be when I grow up. But enough of that. So,
well, you're getting some. You're getting some commiseration from our buddy Scary Jerry, who says I've had the 3-week death as well. Coughs down to about once an hour.
Yes. It's terrible. Oh, you guys. And you guys, by the time I finally, called in, what was it, last week or so, you know, that was me sounding better. That was not me, you know, knocking on death's door, you know, one foot in the grave kind of shit. So, yeah. Did you get that, did you get to read that article that I sent you about the guy that used to work for Department of Homeland Security, about what he said about, you know, the rise of
that's terrifying, and it's absolutely true.
Because I was so crazy when I read the article, because going back to what we were talking about the other day, and you know he warned them this is you know, but his what because just remember when you were talking about the kids.
Well, yeah, it was just as George W. Bush was leaving office and Obama was coming in. The Bush administration actually commissioned the research on violent right-wing extremism in the United States, but it got leaked after Obama had come into office. So naturally, the portrait painted over in white-wing media was that the Kenyan Muslim usurper Negro was getting ready to start a war against the white people.
Mm-hmm.
And so they withdrew it, they quit researching it, they quit gathering data on it, and now when we need it most, it doesn't even exist. You know, awareness or investigation of violent right-wing extremism. Yeah, no, none of that. Instead, we put little rotten white-wing kids on TV to ask them how badly that mean old Indian man made him feel.
I'm sorry, did I lose you?
No, it's popping in and out for some reason or another. But yeah, that was a both-siderism too far for me. Because you know, two of the little white wing kids declared that showing up in blackface for basketball games to intimidate African American players from other schools, that's just school spirit.
That's just school spirit. That's just, you know, and when I read this morning, the article that I sent you about the little bastard, that, you know, I didn't do anything wrong. But, you know, if you have a huge PR firm behind you referred to you by Mitch McConnell, what are you going to do?
Right. Oh, by the way, you got a note in. You got a note in from Darlene. She said, I totally laughed my white ass off when I saw Tommy Lauren attempt to take on Cardi B. You kidding me?
Yeah.
No contest. The dumb is coming out of the blonde there. I think Tommy was feeling a dearth of attention and needed to suck some from Cardi B. Meanwhile, Monique, who knows the neighborhood, said, hell, that wasn't even an actual threat.
It was a promise.
She said, God bless y'all 49 states. That's why y'all don't get Trump, but we do in New York City, and why we didn't vote for him.
Yeah, no, I will dog walk you. I will dog walk you. We'll live it. It's just like I said, Cardi B is my new, she's my hero now. She is absolutely my hero. And did you see the one when somebody came at her about taxes, and she's like, you know, what did she say about the taxes and blah, blah, blah? She's like, well, I hopefully, you know, my taxes will pay for your insurance, or instead of my money going to build that wall. Thank you, Mr. White. I forget, you know, it's just, again, don't come after somebody. Don't start nothing, won't be nothing. You know?
Yep.
But I again, it's just anyway. But I didn't have much to say today. I just really wanted to call in and let people know that medicine is a miracle. And never, you know, if you have insurance, please, especially if you're over 50 and you get sick like I did, or just, you know, because basically what I was told was, especially this time of the year and with flu deaths being on the rise and stuff like that, don't play. Don't play. If after a day or two and you're still feeling like crap, go to the doctor.
Get thee to the doctor.
You know, take your ass, you know, go to the doctor. Because had I gone to the doctor sooner,
you could have saved yourself a whole bunch of misery.
Could have saved myself a whole bunch of misery. So on that note, let's see, what time is it? Yeah. On that note, I am out. Just to get things kind of rolling for hopefully, so you'll have a fundraising free rest of the month. I'm going to go with a big old $20 challenge.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So, let's see. We'll call it Tracy's $20 dog walk Tommy Lauren challenge.
Yes! Yes! Indeed. In fucking deed. That is totally and completely awesome. Totally and completely awesome.
So there it is. We got an hour. And
got a whole hour.
And Tracy's $20 dog walk Tommy Lauren challenge is on the clock. So when do you leave for Vegas?
I'm going to do my school run Friday morning. So we're going to hit the road probably about, let's say I get home, at about 9:30, 10 o'clock on Friday morning. So we'll probably be in Vegas at around 4.
About a six-hour drive?
Well, depending. It's about five to six-hour drive, depending. So we'll be there between 3 and 4. So basically, depending, I'll be listening to while we're driving, depending on what time it is. If it's between 3 o'clock or whatever, I'll be listening to Friday on the Front Porch while I'm driving while we're riding to Vegas. Because Jan has this thing. My wife is a bit of a control freak. Fuck it, she is a control freak, and she won't let me drive when we go. When we first got together,
she won't let the professional driver drive. Okay, I got that.
No, and she explains it away as, well, you know, you drive every day. You don't. I'm like, bitch, please, you just don't want anybody else to drive but you. So I will be listening, you know, if we're still on the road, of course, I'm going to be listening to Front Porch so that, you know, I can hear everybody, Steve and Rick and Scott and John and everybody. So, you know, and maybe it'll give me luck at the card table at the slot machines.
Oh, that would be lovely.
Oh, because I... You know,
is that that three? Today, is that that three-card poker you like to play?
Three-card poker, and I play... And I started three-card poker or Let It Ride or... The last few times I've been playing Let It Ride, and I've done exceedingly well on it. The last time with the Vegas, I came home with like $2,000.
Oh, and by the way, if we ever do have a horn in West Virginia, we got little gambling dens all over the place. So yeah, there's no
do you really?
No table games. It's all just machines. But
so, are they slot machines?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Huh.
All over the place.
In West really?
Yeah. Huh.
Look, you know you have piqued my interest, and now I can tell Jan if we come, I'm like, honey, there's things for you to, because she's the slot machine queen. So I'm like, honey, you could go to, you know, and sit at the gambling hall. Quick question. Well, thank you for reminding me. Out of curiosity, because I know it's not like a hop, skip, and a jump from D.C. to West Virginia, but that's another way I might convince her to come with me.
6 hours.
How long of a drive? That is not bad.
If you come into Dulles, it's about 320 miles.
Okay.
And the thing is, a lot of times you can run into slowdowns on I-81 South. But if you've got clear sailing, yeah, you can do it in 5 hours.
Okay. That's not bad. And what is there to see between D.C. and you?
Well, there's the Manassas Battlefield there in Manassas. And I-81 runs right down the Blue Ridge, so that's the entire Valley campaign of the Civil War. Every town's the scene of a battle.
Cool.
I think there's the Cyrus McCormick Museum. You know, the inventor of the Reaper or whatever, the harvester device that revolutionized agriculture. There's a museum at VMI where you can see Stonewall Jackson's horse. I don't think that's going to appeal to you. They've got him stuffed.
No, that's kind of creepy.
Yeah, it's kind of Confederate too.
Kind of Confederate. So we don't need any Confederate history. We got a Jew and a black woman. We're not caring much about the
let's see. You would go right by the Greenbrier, and if you got some serious Jed Clampett walking around money, they got table games in there.
Ooh.
I think you have to be staying there. But it's a beautiful area too, and right there at Harrisonburg, Virginia, there's an enclave of Mennonites.
Oh, cool!
And so, like, Amish crafts and stuff like that. And then, of course, once you get into West Virginia, like I said, the Greenbrier, and then from there to the whitewater rafting area is about an hour and a half.
Okay. Did we not have this conversation about what? Sir, really?
Which?
Why would I care about anything about whitewater rafting?
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant rock climbing.
Did I ever told you how much I weigh lately?
You're gonna reach right through the phone and strangle me, aren't you?
It's like, okay, again, you know, not that I'm, you know, but I'm not. I could barely lift my ass out of bed at times. If you're trying to get me to try to climb up a mountain with some damn rocks, are you shitting me? Where's John?
I know. Well, no, I mean, that's just what it is. It's the whitewater rafting area, but there's all kinds of, there's hiking and fishing and.
I know it'll be easier for me to come to you than it is to come to me. I mean, my dream is still for you to come out here because there's so many.
I still have that dream too.
And
believe me, I'm deadly in earnest when I say that when they reintroduce the AIC Act, I'm still trying to figure out a way where I could maybe like start in Vancouver and work my way to San Diego, doing speaking engagements and trying to fundraise for the AIC campaign to be able to do the work to get the damn bill passed.
Right, because I was just somewhere the other day. Oh damn it! Where was I? I forget where I was, and it was someplace that I just ran upon. And I was thinking, Bob needs to be here because he would appreciate. Like when the picture that I sent you of that that tri-tip barbecue sandwich.
Yes, that was obscene.
That was really ridiculous. You know, I mean, they're so, and I'm particular about my barbecue, and this is pretty good, right? Because I think it's Texas style. Because you know, listening. You know, to the horn for all these years, I am now realizing, you know, how many different styles of barbecue there are and all that. So that, I believe that was Texas-style barbecue. But it's just, there's so, you know, so many places where I want to take you and all this. I mean, the last time, it was so funny, a few years ago, my brother came to visit. And I picked him up from the airport, right? And we did a food tour. From the airport to my house, okay? So the first place we stopped was Phillips Barbecue. And then from there, we went to this place called Alex Fish Market and got, you know, got barbecue at Phillips. We got the fried shrimp with homemade French fries at Alex's Fish Market. Then we went a little further down the street, and we went to Bill's Taco House. And then from there we went to Chabalit. I mean, we probably went to like six different places before we got to the valley. And that's the kind of thing I want to do with you.
Oh, that'd be something. Stop at every damn taco truck.
Just stop at every damn taco. It's so funny. Every time because I don't want to torture you, but every time I drive by a taco truck, I just, you know, want to take a picture and say, see.
Another one.
And it's just like, oh, God, Bob needs to be. I mean, I know you've been to different places around the country, and, you know, but, and of course, we have to go to Koreatown.
Ooh.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
And little Tokyo, you know, Koreatown for, you know, Korean barbecue, little Tokyo for ramen. I mean, oh my God. You have to be out here for at least a week just to really, and that's still, you know, East LA for Mexican food and again. So anyway, now that we now I'm feeling better, did a little stuff, you know, we did some pop, you know, some black pop culture, and then we eased into, envying people with money, hating on people with money. And now, you know, the food porn section of the talk. So now I think my work here is done. Oh, and I did a challenge. So this was a damn good conversation that actually really didn't have that much to do with depressing shit, huh?
No, we managed to stay out of the swamp, and I can happily tell you that your challenge has been met, courtesy of Anatole.
Nay, thank you.
And so now we're down to 466 to finish January.
Yay!
And if we can, today's Wednesday, right? Yeah, today and tomorrow, and then Fundraising Free Radio starts with Friday on the Front Porch.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad that I was able to do my bit. So on that note, I'm goodbye. Love you guys so much, and especially you, Bob. Thank you. You know, thank you so much for everything that you do.
Well,
because without you, I would be crazy. I would absolutely be crazy.
Yeah, we go crazy, so you don't have to.
Thank you.
I mean, the better part of my day is reading news stories and making those Yosemite Sam sounds. You know, the flag staggering, not pull Frazzleck and not pull slacking.
So again, thank you so much. I appreciate you. I love you. I consider you one of the most important people in my life. And that's
lovely.
I kid you not. Even like I said, on times that I can't call in, and I could just listen because I'm busy or I got customers or whatever. It's so funny because I have you because I listen to you through my Bluetooth while I'm driving. So, you know, I have customers and I have the radio going so they can hear the radio. But I appreciate the customers that don't talk to me when I'm listening to your show. So if trust me.
Who is that crazy redneck?
So again, like I said, your show, especially on those times when I just don't feel like functioning, listening to you has gotten me through a lot of bad times.
Well, I am so glad that it has, and I don't remember a prayer meeting Wednesday that had quite the heft that this one did. Because when you get to open the program with a story of Ernest Angley wallering around with another man, before I lose the access to the audio, I really do need to make a clip of Ernest saying, "I didn't come."
And hearing that guy going back and forth, I'm like, are they really? Because like you, who somebody said, okay, is this a skit? This shit ain't real. It can't be real.
Yeah, that was Brother Deacon Asa accusing me of ripping off an old Phil Hendry bit.
Okay, so it's like, because you're sitting here listening to him like, no, man. You can't, no. No.
He poked and stroked till his wrist got numb, but he still couldn't make Ernest Angley come. He just couldn't do it.
Oh, okay. I'm dead. Now I'm gone. Okay, I'm good. Okay, see.
Hey, by the way, Jenny said, tell Tracy I feel the same about her and you. I think I'm the you part.
Oh.
Yeah. Thank you, Jenny.
Thank you, Jenny. That is so incredibly sweet.
And I will. I'm going to try after the program to record and make a clip because just for prayer meeting Wednesday, we need to have Ernest Angley saying, "I didn't come."
You have to. It is now mandatory.
Y'all boys exactly doing it wrong.
Somebody, I mean, it's there's so many things I can say, but I'm not. I'm gonna let it go.
But sometimes that's all you can do. Just, you know, let him go now. Tracy, have a good evening, dear.
You too, my love. Good night.
Bye now. Tracy, the lady cab driver, calling from L.A. and bound for Vegas come Friday. Come on, cards. Do her right. And so, yeah, we are. We're down to $466 to finish the month of January. And as soon as we do that, fundraising free radio starts. And so that would be awesome. And by the way, if you look over at the website at headon.live, Brother Deacon Ace has been tweaking the PayPal interface a little bit. So now there are dots you can push there for the amount. And there's one that says, have a show on me. That was invented by our buddy Ed several years ago. That's basically one night's fundraising goal. So that's how that works out. But it's thanks to Brother Deacon Asa for working on that. Let's see. Where to go? Wait a minute. Irish Dave says, so Bob, Ernest Angley, didn't you ever hear the old-timey saying about following an animal act? That's a very tepid jingle. And meanwhile, Matt out in San Francisco with a note a little bit ago, subject line, what the? These guys just have a thing against queens. I'll take them to a drag show and maybe they'll see we really are harmless and have a natural talent for makeup and accessorizing. That's the truth. Maybe I'm telling tales out of school. I hope I'm not, but my granddaughter is beginning to experiment with makeup. And who is she looking to for guidance, at least as far as I can tell? There's lots of great drag queens on YouTube who are makeup geniuses. So there you go. Exactly. And Scott in San Diego said, Tracy sounds great. I'm so glad she's getting better. I love this little community. I love the way we look out for each other and fret and worry about each other, because that means it's, you know, a real community. And it was Binion's where they have the chicken fried lobster. And I really would like to know more about that. That sounds so good. Guy at the grocery store over at Kroger's the other day told me he's got a buddy who crushes up the Cheetos jalapeno, you know, Cheetos, into dust and uses those to bread his fried chicken. And yeah, it's Cheetos, and I'm sure they're poisonous, but damn, that sounds real good, actually. Oh, what else? I had a request from Arnold to at least make mention of the whole State of the Union thing. You know, it would be coming up the 29th, which is Tuesday. I know that because, well, it's my birthday week. There's Nancy Pelosi playing chess. You know, 11D-dimensional chess. And on the other side of the board, there's Julius Geezer playing checkers, and poorly. So he tried to game her earlier today. And he said, well, I'll be coming to do the State of the Union anyway. And the interweb tubes sort of exploded and with suggestions, and I confess I was one of them that made it, that she needs to be prepared to ask the Sergeant at Arms of the House to take him into custody. But she did confirm, no, Julius, you don't get to do your State of the Union just because you say you're gonna. Because the government's shut down. So I think that's pretty much where that stands. And what else? Let's see. Oh, I had a note, and this is worth the mention. Where'd it go? Oh, Flavio sent this along. An excerpt from an article at The Guardian. Subject line, Northern Kentucky, worth mentioning. The Northern Kentucky county, where Covington Catholic is located, voted for Trump by a 26-point margin. It is also in the heart of a region on the radar of the Southern Poverty Law Center for its proliferation of hate groups, including white supremacist and radical Christian identity groups. In a strong indicator of the political undertones of the argument taking shape, the school's public relations firm is closely tied to Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader from Kentucky, noted Democratic strategist, according to noted Democratic strategist Adam Parkamenko. Not surprising. And, of course, that whole area has a history of slaughtering the hell out of Native Americans. Back in, Lord Dunmore's War, 1774, 1775, the Battle of Point Pleasant, in which the Shawnee were forced across the Ohio River and more or less out of what is now West Virginia and northern Kentucky. So, yeah, there's that. Oh, here's a fun one. Via the Associated Press, Dateline Spokane. The Trump administration wants to reclassify some radioactive waste left from the production of nuclear weapons to lower its threat level and make disposal cheaper and easier. That's the lead sentence and the lead paragraph. Now, the radioactive waste has not become any less dangerous. It will still kill you dead. It is still highly toxic. But because they'd rather leave it in the ground at Hanford than put it somewhere that nobody else wants it either, they're just going to say it's not as dangerous. So they can just, put it in a trash bag and put it out for collection on Monday. That really would fit well with Titanic Tuesday, because that's some Titanic intellect right there. That's what that is. Oh, no, it's still deadly toxic. It's still radioactive as hell. But we're just going to say that it's not. And yet at the same time, not a peep from the presidency about maybe asking Congress to reclassify cannabis so that it's not a Schedule I narcotic, like heroin, fentanyl. It isn't now and never has been a narcotic or even remotely like heroin or fentanyl. The government just says that it is. Reclassifying cannabis would actually be along the lines of making our approach to cannabis reflect the reality of what cannabis is. Yeah, but no. Sorry. The U.S. Department of Energy has authored the proposal, and it would lower the status of some high-level radioactive waste in several places around the nation, including Hanford Nuclear Reservation, which is larger than the state of Rhode Island, by the way. I love this paragraph. Reclassifying the material to low level could save the agency billions of dollars and decades of work by essentially leaving the material in the ground. Here's the problem with that, though. It's still radioactive as hell, and to say that it's going to save the department money, no, it's not, because it's going to cost in the long term. But as is so often the case, like with fossil fuel industries, the costs will be externalized onto the people who are being, killed. Question from Lee in New York. Could Trump get into the House for the impromptu SOTU? There are so many ways to stop him. Lock the doors. Make sure the room is empty. No audience. Cover. Unplug the cameras. No audience. Make the entrance look like his limo on the runway he won't be able to find his way in. yeah, well, what is he particularly terrified of? You know, with John Ashcroft, it was calico cats. You could stand a guy that looked like Pootie outside. No, then he'd run to the door for a hug. And Brother Deacon Asa says, hey, the radioactive waste can't be that dangerous, Bob. Trump's been tanning in it for at least 30 years. Truth in that. Jesus. Oh, also speaking of Washington State, there's been a big measles outbreak there. Want to know who's responsible? Yeah, anti-vaxxers. This is Clark County, Washington, where there are now 22 confirmed cases of measles, including 19 cases where the children getting the measles were not vaccinated. According to the KATU News, back in 2004-2005 school year, over more than 91.4% of all kindergartners had completed their immunizations. As of 2017-2018, that number has dropped to 76.5%. For measles, the number of vaccinated kindergartners fell from 96.4% to 84.5% over the same time period. And, yes, they've got a bunch of anti-vaxxer goons in that county. Don't know if you noticed it, but birtherism is back on the radar. There's a little, you know, it's like in his early 20s, neo-maxi zoom dweeby by the name of Jacob Wohl. He's the guy who tried to run a smear scam on Robert Mueller a couple of months back. Well, he's got a new scam going. He has declared Kamala Harris is not eligible to be president. Her father arrived from Jamaica in 1961. Mother from India arrived in 1960. Neither parent was a legal resident for 5 years prior to Harris's birth, a requirement for naturalization. Kamala was raised in Canada. Yeah, she was born in Oakland. But, of course, the maggots don't care about that. The maggots don't care about knowing real facts. And there's nothing in the Constitution or in the laws of the United States that say a baby born in the United States can only be a U.S. citizen if it's born to parents who have been in the country for 5 years. That's not even remotely true. She became an American the moment she emerged from her mother's womb. And just for anyone, just a reminder, the word birthright does not appear in the 14th Amendment at all, anywhere. And the other day I mentioned that Coast Guard retirees will be stiffed on their pension checks if we don't sort out the shutdown by the 29th of January. What I neglected to mention was how many of those there are. That's 50,000 Coast Guard retirees. Let's run over and check in with Scott. Hey, Scott.
Say hallelujah.
Bye-bye.
It's the Right Reverend Dr. Billy Saul Hargis, pastor of the First Church of the Gooey Death and Discount House of Worship here in Del Rio, Texas, the home of America's only religious amusement park, Holy Land, USA. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thanks to my pal, Don Imus, for the Right Reverend Dr. Billy Saul Hargis. Mercy. Ernest Angley, you were probably too stoned to get the proper pronunciation when he was doing his Heal the Deaf Guy act.
Yeah.
He didn't say baby. He said, say baby.
That's true. And say the person and the person replies, baby.
Baby. Jesus. And you know,
say anti-disestablishmentarianism.
Say baby. He moved. He was at one location in Ohio, and then after Rex Humbard went on to his reward, he apparently purchased the Humbard church property in Akron. Angley did. But I'm thinking, I was serious when I sent my email earlier. If he had the divine ability to heal, or the ability to heal divinely, the first order of business, boys and girls, is to do something about that demonic, woven petrochemical monstrosity on his head.
To quote the old Bud Light commercial, it couldn't look more fake if it had a chin strap.
Oh, it was so fakey, it made sense.
It can repel dirt, wind, water, and especially beautiful young women.
Yes. Yes, say amen. Amen. It made Sam Donaldson's hairpiece look real. That's how... I'll never forget one... I guess it was back in the 90s. One morning, I was watching This Week with David Brinkley on ABC, and... you know, he had Sam and Cokie on the panel, and he was interviewing some congressman or senator or mucky muck from way down south in the land of cotton about something that was in the news.
Your feet stink and mine are rotten, yes.
Yeah, whopping slaves and selling cotton and waiting for the Robert E. Lee. It was never there on time.
That's why I come all the waiting.
Yeah. So anyway, they're talking to some Southern-born mucky muck Republican, obviously, about his veracity about a statement about whatever it was that was in the news. Sam was, and I think it had to do with the textile industry. It might have been a South Carolinian politician. Sam was going on about whatever he was saying was not authentic. And he says, well, if you want to talk authentic, let's talk about that thing on your head. So right on national TV to Sam Donaldson. And I would have slugged him if I'd been Sam, but I'm not. But did I hear you correctly a few moments ago, Bob? Did I? Did you honestly say that John Ashcroft was afeard of calico cats? Was that real?
That was real.
How is this possible?
Well, calico cats are infused with with demons.
No.
And so he was scared to death of calico cats.
No, no, no.
Yes.
No.
Yeah,
au contraire,
yes.
Brother, yes. Bob. Au contraire. My late cat, Michi the Calico.
Yes.
Who looked... I had that cat for 21 years. She had just turned 21, and then she took sick and died.
She up and died, yes.
Yeah, up and died back in the summer of 2015, and I still miss that little cat. She was a calico. She was a rescue cat. She looked all the world. People would ask me about my cat. They'd say, well, what color is Michi? And I said, well, she's a calico. Well, what color is she? I said, the best way to describe Michi the cat, she was shot out of a cannon through the earth tone section of a Sherwin-Williams store.
Exactly.
She had every earth tone in her coat of
copper, caramel, black, brown.
And I cannot think of a less demonically influenced creature on God's green earth than that cat. And
well, you'll have to take it up with John Ashcroft.
Well, I met him once. Did I ever tell you about crossing paths with John Ashcroft? This was back when I was still married to my first wife.
Back in the day, we used to refer to him as Crisco John.
Oh, no. There's got to be a story about that.
Well, he was into anointing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, he and someone else you mentioned on the program earlier, he and Paul Crouch went to Bible school together in Springfield, Missouri, back in the 50s, I guess it was. Do you know that?
I did not.
Did you? Huh?
No, yes. I did not.
I think it was
Did they come to school together?
Well, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I don't want to get into I bodily didn't come. Fluids. And yes, by all means.
And yes, and by all, and the passage about and it was discussed and how you had to go and wash his ejaculating off your hands.
Oh, stop it. You're on my turf. I'm normally the one that talks about disgusting things. But anyway,
well, we started the engine down the tracks in the gutter this evening. So you know, everything's fair game.
Well, back I was married in '86 to my first wife. And we were living in Kansas City at the time. She grew up in a place called Nevada, Missouri, spelled like Nevada, but pronounced Nevada, in the southwest corner.
I know of it. Yeah, because there's also a California, Missouri.
Yes. And she was about an hour north of Joplin, to give you a rough idea on the map. Well, we'd all the time, every month or so, go down to visit her family down in Nevada. It was a good 2-hour drive from Kansas City. And no, at the time we were living in Jefferson City, Missouri, in the middle of the state, which you also know well. And you have to go kind of diagonally from Jefferson City to get down to the southwest corner of Missouri. And you have to go through Max Creek, the infamous speed trap city. Their entire government was financed by catching supposedly speeding tourists headed down to the Lake of the Ozarks or whatever. Oh, and they got me one time. But that's another story. Anyway, we about midway through between Jefferson City and Nevada, we stopped to get refreshments. And as I was walking into the little convenience store, walking out was, I guess, then Governor John Ashcroft. And I didn't actually introduce myself or he to me or anything like that. I didn't even recognize him, because when I got my stuff, my cigarettes and Dr. Pepper, whatever, got back in the car, my wife said, did you know that was John Ashcroft? And I recognized him, but it didn't register, is what I'm saying. But I can't imagine being a feared of calico cats. They are that cat. Maybe some of them are weird.
Yes. Well, no, there's nothing weird about a calico cat. It was John Ashcroft who was weird.
Well, no, in fairness,
I mean, this is a guy who spent $10,000 covering up the naked aluminum boobies of doom of Lady Justice.
Well, there's that. You're right. But, I mean, some calico cats, in fairness, because my wife at the time had a calico, Danny, the cat, who was crazier than I am. But it would have to be a stretch to say that cat had demonic influences. So, John Ashcroft, you've lost your fucking mind. But that's not why I called. You were talking earlier about Northern Kentucky.
Yes.
Which, after my first wife and I split up in late 95, I moved to the Cincinnati area. And the first place I lived was Florence, Kentucky.
Yep.
Which is a fur piece down the road from Cincinnati. But then for a while, I lived in South Newport. And then for a while, I lived in Bellevue, Kentucky. And then I finally moved across the river into Cincinnati proper. This was in 96, 97. And I don't recall the people down there being virulent, is that the word? Say that word for me.
Virulently.
Yeah. I always get that one wrapped around my tongue the wrong way. I don't recall them being as Trumpian back then, and granted it was over 20 years ago, as they are now. Covington's a nice, lovely little town.
Well, you have to take into account the madness that struck white wing America because we had a black man in the White House for 8 years. They're still angry about it, and they still want us to give them a cookie for suffering through those 8 long years of Obama.
From time to time,
you'll run across one who'll say something like, "Well, we suffered through 8 years of Obama. You can just shut up about Trump."
Well, would they? Who is that lieutenant governor of Maryland who's on MSNBC a lot? He was head of the Republican.
Oh, Michael Steele.
Yeah, Michael Steele. What did they give him? A Michael Steele cookie, an Oreo, black on the outside and white on the inside.
Yeah, see, whenever I hear that, I think about that line from Rudyard Kipling's Gunga Din. He was black as coal, but he was white, pure white inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, apparently, when he was lieutenant governor, he was speaking at a public engagement at a college, I believe, a junior college, and claimed that the crowd pelted him with Oreos. And that's never been proven. And just as the common notion that Nikita Khrushchev pounded his shoe at the United Nations, that never actually occurred. He may have pounded the desk with his fist, but he did not pound the table and I don't know what they threw at him, borscht bowls, I don't know. But that's not why I called either. Cannabis.
See.
Do you have HBO?
No.
Okay, well, I watch Vice News Tonight, a little half-hour recap of world national news with kind of a liberal or skeptical bent to it. And last, did you hear what CBS did vis-a-vis a Super Bowl commercial?
No.
CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System, has declined to accept advertising from a cannabis company for insertion into the Super Bowl lineup of award-winning ads. Now, they say, and see, it's CBS's prerogative to yay or nay potential advertising on any program, but in this particular case, it being the Super Bowl and having a lot of eyeballs, you know, glued to the set, makes the set look funny with all those eyeballs glued to it.
Kind of creepy, really.
Yes. The NFL has a say also in giving a yay or a nay to a potential advertiser. But let's look at the irony here. The NFL, all right, first of all, medical marijuana and recreational marijuana is available now in, what is it, 34 states, somewhere in that number? Okay, so there's that. There's also the notion that by now, in the year 2019, there are probably precious few people, statistically speaking, who still believe with their heart and soul that marijuana is a gateway drug.
Well, but like the ones who do are almost universally Republican.
Yes, definitely. And the NFL is against use of cannabis by their injured players. Where do the injuries occur? In their NFL participation. Okay? These are serious injuries. What do the doctors do? Write out script for Vicodin or OxyContin or whatever. What do a lot of the players do surreptitiously, especially the retired ones? They go ahead and use the pot because they know from experience of the healing properties of cannabis. So it would make perfect sense in today's world that in the lineup of ads during the Super Bowl, there would be a responsibly well-crafted advertisement on behalf of the cannabis industry. But no, au contraire, Brother Bob. CBS and or the NFL have said ixnay to that. And it pisses me off.
Well, but see, if it read, it would point out the glaring hypocrisy of the NFL's position relative to cannabis.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's true.
Because you can have your playing career ended over a doobie.
Yeah, P-test.
And there's like this three strikes and you're out.
But I would love to see Marvelline and what's the husband's name?
Emery.
Emery and Marvelline sitting down there wherever they are, probably in South Alabama.
Matching Barca loungers.
In their matching Barca loungers, watching the Super Bowl, rooting for the Patriots, because they got Tom Brady on there, and he likes President
Trump. And he's a Trumper.
Yes. So they're sitting there watching, and you've got the Bud Light ad, and the Dorito ad, and then the ad about cannabis. Hold on just a minute, Marvelline. Run that back. Run that back. Did I just see what I think I saw? It would freak them out. But then, on the other hand, you'd have the stoners sitting there watching it. Wait a minute. Run that back, man. Dude, run that back. They wouldn't believe it either. So I think just for purposes of enlightenment and surprise, CBS ought to change its corporate mind. Moonves is gone. Certainly, they've got somebody in there.
And here's an interesting little piece of breaking news. A lawyer representing Saints season ticket holders has sued the NFL.
Oh, yeah, they want a redo.
Yeah.
And that does, yeah, tell me about that. Tell me more.
Well, he's asking for a redo to pick up where the no call was.
Can they do that? I think the head of the NFL has it within his power to issue such an order.
And, you know, the NFL was trying to just kind of, you know, ixnay on the o-nay, all k, we'll all be okay. And yeah, it didn't work. Because this thing won't go away. And by way of damages, the lawyer, whose name is Frank D'Amico, the lawyer's pleading for damages for mental anguish and emotional trauma, loss of faith in the NFL, loss of enjoyment of life, loss of entertainment, and distrust of the game.
That would certainly be an interesting development. I mean, because it would be like dominoes falling. You know what they ought to do, and there's not near enough time because the Super Bowl is less than 2 weeks away, but this cannabis company, whose name I forget, whose ad got turned down, their plan B ought to be to have constructed a blimp in the shape of a joint with their logo and name emblazoned on either side.
Yeah, that'd be great if it wasn't in a domed stadium.
Oh, well, fuck.
Sorry.
That shows you how much attention I pay. But, boy, that would be great.
But there, you know, usually it's like, oh, it's Super Bowl time. It's a national secular holiday. I've always said they should play the Super Bowl on Saturday instead of Sunday so people could have Sunday to recover. But that's me.
Well, that's a good
idea. But there's a real problem here insofar as it's going to be played there at the Mercedes Dome in Atlanta. And Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport is already busy enough.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to get to that.
They do about 75,000 people a day.
Yeah, on a regular day.
And they're not going to have sufficient TSA personnel when it comes time to for people who went to the Super Bowl to leave the Super Bowl. So they're actually going to allow people to check through up to 24 hours ahead of their flight and just linger in the airport for 24 hours.
Oh, God.
Can you imagine?
Oh, I'd be like living on the streets of Calcutta. Because football fans, I don't mean to paint with too broad a brush, but these are not generally known as clean people. These people are slobs, a lot of them. But I don't know. It's going to be an interesting program. I just hope that the Rams kick New England's ass
Now you're going to get in trouble with the New England contingent here. You realize that?
Well, I'm terribly sorry about that. I'm sure they're all wonderful folks, but I don't like Tom Brady. Maybe that's the problem. I don't like that smug, snarky son of a gun. I don't. I just don't. And having lived in Kansas City for the better part of the 80s, eight out of the 10 years of that decade, I never went to a Chiefs game. I was never a particularly big football fan. But, you know, you get hometown feelings for your team. Okay? And I was on the edge of my seat almost during the entirety of that game. The first quarter or so, the Chiefs looked like they were, you know, playing in their sleep, sleepwalking the game. But, man, things got exciting after that. And the zigs and the zags and the drama, you know? And I'm not an especially big football fan, but when it's a team that I have even a mild rooting interest for, I like to root for them, especially when they're playing Tom Brady's team. So I don't want to piss off the New England fans in the Horn family, but they've been there enough. You know?
Yeah, and just a couple of other shutdown pieces of shutdown-related news. The Secret Service, and it's not organizationally, it's just members of the Secret Service, workers for the Secret Service, have minted their own challenge coin to manifest their disgust at the shutdown.
Hmm.
The front has the American flag with a five-pointed gold star over it and a red circle and slash across the American flag shield.
Damn.
It says United States Secret Service, essential personnel. On the back, there's a picture of the White House and the Capitol, and a rectangular neon-looking sign, and the on part is in red, and it says closed.
Damn.
And around the outside, it says, "Don't worry, you'll get back pay." 2018-2019.
Was this the Secret Service itself, or was this their union, their organization?
No, this is some individual inside the Secret Service, and people have decided to chip in to get these things minted. You know, it might cost you $10 or something like that.
Well, earlier you mentioned the Coast Guard retirees not getting...
Yeah, 50,000.
I wonder if this is affecting the Secret Service retirees. And the reason I wonder is, you know, my younger brother, who I'm on his shit list, and we haven't spoken for almost a year now. I wonder if this is affecting his retirement.
I don't know about that, but...
Because that's under Treasury, the Secret Service is.
Yeah, whereas Coast Guard is under Commerce.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that would make a difference then. It's insane that this thing has gone, what is it, 33 days, 32 days now?
We're at 33.
This is insane. And I understand that there's really no way out for Trump. As long as he's tying the funding for this stupid wall. And what is the length of the wall? Is it like 2,100 miles?
Yeah.
All right. What is the length of that pipeline down in Mexico, that gasoline pipeline that blew the fuck up the other day? Isn't that a comparable length? And the thing that brought that about was there was people in Mexico trying to siphon into the goddamn gasoline pipeline, which caused it to go boom, which caused what, 57 people to
90,
get killed?
And 90.
Oh, Jesus. So let's do the math here. Some structure, whether it's a pipeline or a concrete wall of that length, even if it's half of 2,100, in the case, say, of the pipeline, I don't know the length of that thing, but they said when they were talking about the explosion caused by the vandals of the pipeline contents in Mexico, they said it was a lack of security. Well, we'd have that same issue with the wall. I don't care how, which one of the prototypes of the wall, just miles from where I sit, where they made them a year or so ago, and Trump came to look at them, and ooh and ah. I don't care how good the concrete wall is. You've still got to have people or cameras or both watching the wall, the watchman on the wall. That's where that phrase came from, okay? And security is still going to be an issue, even if he does get the wall put up.
Oh, there is no rational, logical justification for it. You're going to drive yourself crazy, even trying to pretend that there might be. There isn't.
Well,
remember the whole thing. All it was a mnemonic that they came up with to try to get him to remember to talk about immigration.
To be outraged about the immigrants. The dirty, filthy Mexicans. See, motherfucker, Jesus, come on here.
Yep. And meanwhile, this being prayer meeting Wednesday, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez took down Sarah Hasselbeck sandbags via Twitter.
Oh, good. Good. I love it when that happens.
Because the proud daughter of Wachita Baptist College, no shit, Sarah Hasselbeck Sandbags, declared that no one need listen to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez because God. The direct quote is, "I don't think we're going to listen to her on much of anything, particularly anything that we will leave into the hands of a much, much higher authority. And certainly not listen to the freshman congresswoman on when the world may end." Eventually, these assholes will figure out that they're trying to play a game with somebody who's got them way outclassed. Because boom, here she comes back to the Twitter, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez responds: "Genesis 1, God looked on the world and called it good, not once, not twice, but seven times. Genesis 2, God commands all people to serve and protect creation. Leviticus, God mandates that not only the people, but the land that sustains them shall be respected."
Bingo, 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 bingo.
And then she stuck it in, gave it a twist, and broke it off. She said, shouldn't need a Bible to tell you to protect our planet, but it does anyway.
Yeah.
The only thing she didn't do was say, Sarah, you maybe ought to read the Bible more than you spend more time reading it than you do banging on it.
Thumping it. Didn't Trump tell Sarah the other day or last week to cut back on the daily briefings because it was just rude questions anyway?
Yeah, we don't send her out so much anymore because people aren't nice to her. And the one thing we haven't mentioned, and we have to on the way out the door, because this is not small potatoes, is this decision that was made by the Trump regime and presumably Mike Pompeo. You know, he graduated first in his class from West Point. To recognize somebody besides the duly elected president of Venezuela as the president of Venezuela.
I heard that. Jesus.
This is, you know, there was that article a few years ago that I wish I could find it, but the guy made a very, very salient point, and that was that great conflagrations start from little bits of nothing. Who would have ever imagined that a malcontent shooting an archduke in Serbia would wind up turning into World War I?
Mm-hmm. And what fun that was.
Well, Nicolas Maduro has now given the American diplomatic mission 72 hours to get out of Venezuela. And you've actually got people saying here, well, he ain't a real president no more. He can't tell us to leave. You know, how stupid are these maggots?
Well, I never thought that I would live to see the day, and maybe it's cockeyed optimism and hope on my part, hope and stuff, but I never thought I would live to see the day that America would technically elect such a demented circus peanut as they have to be the chief executive of the land, and that we are only barely over 2 years in to his 4 years in his term. And you're right. Every now and again, you remind us that in the Republican Party, things have gotten so batshit crazy that maybe one day after Trump is gone and we've had a couple of decent Democratic administrations and picked up enough pieces and restored order and confidence and pride and intelligence to the land, that maybe one day, given the status of the GOP, they will run a candidate for president who will be every bit as irresponsible as Trump, but will be equipped with, oh, I don't know, experience, language skills, savvy, call it what you will, who can really do some damage to this republic. That's a frightening fucking thought. And not even Ernest Angley will be able to heal us. Say, baby.
You know, it was particularly funny. A member of the press told Donald Trump today that Nancy had shut him down, and it didn't go over very well. Stand by.
They know what's happening at the border, and they know it's a big scam. And the Democrats don't want to stop people. That means automatically massive amounts of crime, and we're not going to put up with it. So Nancy Pelosi, knowing these facts and knowing it's something that she can't win, that she just went out and said, let's cancel for the first time in the history of our country, let's cancel the State of the Union address. And it's a disgrace, just so you know.
And it's a disgrace. The only thing is, no president from Thomas Jefferson up to Woodrow Wilson gave a State of the Union address, Scott. But you know that.
It was an essay. It was written.
Yeah. That's all that the Constitution requires.
Well, give him a crayon and a brown paper sack and let him write it out for us.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
That'd be fun. They could actually, I'm sure the White House staff has got enough time on its hands. They could put it in the form of Mad Libs to make it a little easier on him. The Mad Lib State of the Union address. Give him his crayon, his number two pencil, his big boy, first grader pencil, and one of those tablets.
And his big chief tablet, right? Yeah,
big chief tablet. And let him have at it, and let him submit it.
Well, here's a different angle of the crazy today.
Mr. President, Nancy Pelosi just responded, and she said she will not consider a concurrent resolution to have you come to the House on January 29th to deliver the State of the Union. Your response to the House Speaker?
I'm not surprised. It's really a shame what's happening with the Democrats. They've become radicalized. They don't want to see crime stop, which we can very easily do on the southern border. And it really is a shame what's happening with the Democrats. This will go.
You know, the funny thing, Scott, is that I don't care how long, how high, how deep that wall is, it wouldn't have stopped five people from being killed by an American citizen in Sebring, Florida today. It would not have stopped a plot by four Trump supporters in upstate New York to murder every human being in Islamburg, New York. So when he says, they don't want to stop crime, well, the fact of the matter is he doesn't give a fuck about crime. At least not gun crimes, you know?
Thing about that second clip that you played?
Yeah.
What's struck me immediately is he sounds deflated, dejected.
Well, you need to go and look up. You need to go and look up the clip because he makes this face at the beginning when they tell him that she's told him no. He does this thing with his neck and his shoulders and his little head bob, where he, I mean, you can hear my head going back and forth, right? And then he makes that little cat's ass shape with his mouth, where he puckers.
The Velvet Fruit Loop.
Yeah, the Velvet Fruit Loop, yes. Hey, Scott, I got to get out of here, brother. We're 5 minutes over, but you have yourself a good evening, man.
You too, Bob. Take care.
All right, later. Bye now. And somebody, Scott, calling from San Diego way. Ron in Raleigh says, I'm with Scott. I hope the Rams beat New England like a Navajo drum. I have a friend originally from Boston, and whenever New England loses, I call him to give him shit. Well, you know, it's the little things in life, isn't it? So we will close with a remainder for the rest of the week and the rest of the month of $466. Hopefully we'll wipe that out tomorrow so that we can begin fundraising Free Radio come Friday. Thanks, everybody, for joining in. Thanks for the big help we've gotten over the last couple of days. Two Have a Show on Me's, Harold, the president and CEO of Sostris, and the other from Peg in the Sandbox. Thank you, and thanks to everybody who responded as well to get us to where we are, 466, to finish the month. And hopefully we'll begin with a fundraising free Friday on the front porch. Wow, talking about the airport issues. Hung Like Jesus says, I went to San Francisco last weekend out of Atlanta and waited in the airport for 6 hours.
Oh, yeah. That's hell.
So that's Ferg in the background, by the way. So we're out of here. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks this evening to Steve from Georgistan, all-around great guy and pinch-hit midweek utility chat room moderator. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thanks to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. And thanks always go out to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.